This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 29th, 2019, the Feast of the Holy Family, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Rejoice before him who is thy Father, God in his holy place. The words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That prayer that was chanted before the readings today, rejoice before whom is thy Father, God in his holy place, God in his holy habitation, God in his home. We should rejoice because of the mercies of God. Our eyes have been opened and the Holy Spirit has drawn us to living with God, to be part of his holy family. And today we venerate that holy family that is our exemplar, the holy family that we should pattern ourselves after in order that our families are well ordered. Because there's an integral relationship with our families being well ordered and the church being well ordered. Because the family is the building block of the church. The church cannot be strong if Catholic families are not. We are falling far short of the mark of having holy families. Statistically, our stats of successful families, spiritually speaking, is no better than that of the world. In some places, the world's stats are even a little better than ours. That is a travesty. That is a monstrosity. Our families should be the example to other people. The pagan looks at our families and says, I wish mine could be like that. That is what would happen if we raised and nurtured Catholic families in the purest sense of the word. We can only do it if we individually show forth and exemplify the characteristics of the members of the Holy Family. They are our exemplar, as I said before. They are our pattern for holy families. We should indeed rejoice that we've been called to understand this. But as I said, as we go through this, I really hope you integrate, I'll do it myself, but I hope you, even if I don't, start thinking of the association between our families and our church. Usually when we hear things about the Holy Family, it is the family collectively. Okay, this day I want to focus on we as individual members of families. And it doesn't matter if your family is two people or 14 or 15 people. If everybody in the family is working on these characteristics, then all will be well. They will be holy families. You can't help it. It's going to happen because God has given us examples and marching orders in order to have holy families, that we may have a holy church. The three characteristics that we as individuals and each individual member of the Holy Family, whether it be our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Virgin Mary, or Saint Joseph, every single one of them manifests all three of these characteristics. And those characteristics are charity, holiness of life, and filial love. The first one. Yeah, families are supposed to love one another. What does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, in English, we have one word for love. In a lot of languages, and it's very beneficial, to have more than one expression for what we're talking about. You know, we point out, you know, a lot of us love candy. I hope you love your family members more than that. But it's the same word that's used, all right? When we're talking about love for family, we are not talking about an emotionalism because emotion is subjective. So we're not talking about a love that is subjective. Because when that happens, all bets are off. Because that's when you get, we've fallen out of love. Well, how many times I've heard that one? Okay? She doesn't love me as much as it's obvious. He doesn't love me as much as it. That is a subjective interpretation on your abstract view of love. We're talking about love that must be made manifest in a family is from the Latin word caritas, where we get the English word charity. It's work. It is a sacrificial love. That emotional love of which I just spoke, that abstraction is, what have you done for me lately? What am I getting out of this? How am I being nurtured? That is not caritas. Charity is, I will love you in face of, I might think that you don't love me enough. Or I'm subjectively not sure if you still love me as much as you did before. This whole idea of, you know, well, in a family, you're supposed to be happy. God wants you to be happy. You know what? I don't have it memorized, but I've read this cover to cover several times. I'm in it every single day. There is not one place in this volume where God says He wants you to be happy. He wants you to go to heaven. That's what He wants you to do. But guess what? If you do what He says, it is a consequence that you will be happy. Okay? This is the reality of things. We'll be happy if we exemplify this characteristic of charity, this sacrificial love, this I'll put myself out because I love you. And you know what? Me putting myself out for you because I love you might even put you out, but you showing charity to me should make you okay with the sacrifice. The gospel today. Angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. Said, Joseph, they seek the life of the child. He did flee into Egypt. Joseph did not respond like, thanks, angel. Appreciate the heads up. Tomorrow morning when we get up, we get packed and everything, I'll march right off. He, right then and right there, because of his sacrificial love for our Lord Jesus Christ, his foster son, knowing who he was, he like, I am not taking Egypt. We're out. We're walking through the desert in the dark. Because I'm in fear for the life of the child. Not an easy thing for any of them, but he did it anyway. That's charity. We need to start approaching each other in our families like that. Even when you may think subjectively, this is going on, that's going on. Charity, sacrificial love, not syrupy Hallmark love. Okay, that's all well and good. But this is what we're talking about here. Caritas. The second, holiness of character. I don't want to harp on this one too much because I harp on it all the time. Living a practical Catholic life. Not just when you're here, not when you're hanging out with your Catholic friends or doing a novena at their house or a rosary. Every moment of every day, our faith should permeate and dictate how we live our lives. Not just in the family. Of course, in the family, but when you buy groceries, when you buy a car, how you dress, how you talk, every moment of every day, you should live holiness of character. All the three members of the Holy Family did. We have our Lord Jesus Christ, God, who is sinless. We have the Blessed Virgin Mary, Immaculate, and we have Saint Joseph, that just man. They all live that. It was who they were. It was their very being. We need to do that too. And all these characteristics, I should have said this at the beginning, all these characteristics, they're not like, oh, I don't have that now. I'll flip a switch and I'll have them. These are all work. They're hard work. They're constant work. Because you know what? You know, and most of us in here have them. Families. Yeah, there are very few just single people who don't even single people have parents, brothers and sisters, generally speaking. Okay? Things change in families. Because why? Individuals grow. They grow spiritually. They just grow physically. They're exposed to things in the world. So there's always got to be this adjustment in the way we show charity. There's always got to be an adjustment in our holiness of character. It doesn't matter what you may do. I am going to manifest a holiness of character to you as an example in our families, in our church. This is what I mean by holiness of character. It is a must for strong Catholic families, for everybody in there to act holy. The third one, filial love. I don't use the word filial a whole lot in English, just in everyday conversation. Filial love. This is more directed toward children, and I don't mean little children. I mean particularly young adult, teenage children. Filial love is being respectful of the duties and attitudes of a son or daughter toward their parents. This is respecting what is handed down to you. This is probably the one characteristic where we are falling the most short. Parents, it is your duty. It is your God-given mandate to train up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. There is nothing that disgusts me more than while you walk around with a collar on, everybody comes up and gives you their spiel on their take of the faith and whatever, okay? How many times I've heard purported Catholic parents, well, you know, little Johnny hasn't been confirmed because I want him to deal with that on his own. You know, he's got to come to that himself. He can't be forcing your children. That is pathetic. That's mortal sin. There is nothing that a parent can do that is more malfeasant than to not pass on the Catholic faith to their children. Because if they do it correctly, all these three characteristics will be in those children's life. Are they all going to adhere to it? No. That's where filial love comes into place. Because if they have filial love, they will adhere to it. And if they are shown, and by example of life and teaching, it is your duty to bring them to the point where they will exemplify these things because they know their faith. You know, it is sad for me to think that the spiritual heads of our Catholic houses, the father, will delegate to his wife. Oh, my wife takes care of that stuff. She's the one with the rosaries and the Bible studies. I let her take care of that. Guess who's going to be answerable in the end for whether she's doing it right or not? You. Because you are the spiritual head of the house. Women, you are supposed to raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It is your responsibility as a helper of your husband to do just that. He is ultimately responsible, but the way it works out well is when, as the second reading today says, the wife is subject to her husband. It is a travesty that there is an option in the matrimonial rite now of the church where there's an option to where there can be the negation of the wife saying that she is going to obey her husband. There is a huge crack in the foundation of the Catholic family when a wife will not say that she will obey her husband. That option is not used around here. Okay? That's all there is to it. Because a marriage has to start on the firmest foundation. I'm not questioning this, that, or the other. I'm just saying that doesn't happen around here because of this. Because that is our faith. That is our faith. A properly ordered family. The head of the household, his helper, and the children obedient and in filial love, accepting the faith that is handed down to them. This orders our houses well, and consequently, it will order our church well. Handing down the deposit of the faith. That faith which the Holy Spirit has handed down throughout the millennia of the church's existence. not changing it up because of culture. Or we live in times now where this is fine and that's fine, so we don't teach that anymore. That's horrible. And it's sinful that you do not teach your children the Catholic faith. For instance, the well-ordered fact that the husband is the spiritual head, that the wife is obedient to him, and the children in filial love should embrace wholeheartedly what is handed down to them. If it happens to the family, it's going to happen to the church. Yeah. Well, we change this, we change that. Here's another one this week. All rigidity is because people are afraid of change. Praise God that they're afraid of change. Look at what the changes of the past 50 years have done in our families and in our church. The rubble and destruction is all around you. The changes that have occurred. We don't even have a definition of family anymore. 50 years ago, family, picture in my mind, father, mother, kids. It's a given. That's it. Little child, 3 years old, draw a picture of the family. Mommy and daddy, the kids. That's family. It's a definition. Now, what's it? No, that's a family. No, it's not. It's some association, and some of them are monstrous associations, heinous associations. Just because you adopt some kids into them doesn't make it a family. It is not family by definition. That's all there is to it. How could you say it? Because I know the faith. The faith has been handed down to me, and I don't change it. We should be deathly afraid of change. 60 years ago, throw this one out a lot, but it bears repeating. 60 years ago, everybody on the face of this planet knew what the Catholic Church believed and taught about theology, morality, liturgics. Yeah, it didn't matter what church you went into, wherever it was, the Mass was exactly the same, in the same language. Okay? And now we've changed things. It has done so much good for the church, has it not? Read the sarcasm. We should be deathly afraid of change. Be rigid. Suggestion. This is what makes strong Catholic families. Here, hey, here's one for you. If something is strong, it is rigid. If it is not rigid, it is weak and malleable. Rest my case by definition. Semantics proves the point. If we don't want to appeal to the Holy Spirit, who has proven the point throughout history of what happens when things are well ordered, whether it be the family or the church, or when they are not well ordered. I said this before. Parents, you may do everything that you possibly can, fulfilling the baptismal promises that you made and your godparents made to your children at their baptism, to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to teach them the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Creed, and to have them at the bishop for confirmation and making sure they're in Mass every week and every holy day of obligation. You may have fulfilled that responsibility with all your being. And there may be some kids, in some cases, it may be all of them, that may not embrace or continue in the faith. That is on them. They are not exhibiting filial love for what has been handed down to them. We should not be surprised, because as joyful as that prayer is that was read, rejoice before whom is thy Father, God in his holy place, it goes on to say, the wicked shall be troubled at his presence. It is wickedness not to manifest these characteristics in a Catholic home. And the wicked will be troubled at God's presence. They will be troubled and they will flee. figuratively and literally, they will flee from God. That's what the Holy Spirit teaches us in Psalm 68 in that prayer. The wicked shall be troubled at his presence. I just said it is wickedness not to adhere to these three characteristics that make a strong family and subsequently strengthens our church. The condition of people who would think that it's okay, the pluralistic kind of thing, this, as much as God talks about unity throughout the scriptures, this person can think what they want, this person can think what they want, this relativistic nonsense that is crammed down our throats. I'm okay, she's okay, that's good for them. Faith groups. Remember that faith group. The scriptures teach us there is one faith. One faith. And it negates this whole concept of faith groups. There's one faith. It's a Roman Catholic faith. That is the true faith. If you do not believe that, I will let St. Cyprian speak. St. Cyprian says, and he's speaking in the context of the church, but just like I said, the family associates with the church associates with the family in this case. St. Cyprian says, who then is so profane and lacking in faith? Who's so insane by the fury of discord as either to believe that the church of Christ may be torn asunder or to dare to do so? St. Cyprian is telling us that there must be unity within our families. And anybody who is the bent spoke, so to speak, in the family, They're the problem. Our families need to be well ordered, and it is wickedness if it's not. We need to start working on this. Yeah? A lot of us have fallen short throughout our lives in doing it. Start again. Exemplify all these characteristics. And if you're a single person and don't have another person on the face of this planet, in 57 years, I've known one individual, and she's buried back in the little columbarium back there, who had nobody on the face of this planet. And I still to this day use it as an example. I had never found a person. She was alone in this world. The only family she had was this parish. Edith, by name. That is an extremely anomalous situation. Everybody has somebody, generally speaking. We have other people, and even if you are a single person, if you manifest these characteristics, you will relate well to others everywhere, and you will be the example of Christ. But in the family is where it takes true hold, where the foundation is laid for properly ordered families, holy families. If our Catholic families are holy, the church will be holy. Currently, statistically speaking, most are not. And by consequence, the church is not. Oh, she's holy. She's just full of people who aren't. So we have to start fixing that. That we do it by manifesting these characteristics of charity, holiness of character, and filial love. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.